This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got kind of murky outside. We're looking at temperatures in the 20s right now. The wind chill index feels like 16 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with a check of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the Dow is higher by 130 points or 0.5%, moving above 24K. NASDAQ is moving above 7,000 with a gain of 107 points, up 1.5%. S&P higher by 24 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 0.2%. A report today finds inflation at the wholesale level, that's the prices that businesses pay for goods and services, is flat. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is one of the government agencies still open during the partial shutdown, and it reports that in December, wholesale prices actually slipped 0.2%. Some future Volkswagen pickup trucks will be built Ford Tough. VW and Ford have announced they'll be joining forces to build pickup trucks, delivery vans, and possibly more. We're hearing from Auto Trader executive analyst Michelle Krebs that a single automaker can't be all things to all customers around the globe as vehicle and tech development becomes more expensive. So we might see more of these kinds of partnerships between car makers. Crude oil futures sharply higher today, up 2.5% to $51.77 a barrel. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the latest estimate of the cost of the government shutdown. And Netflix is increasing prices.
Also on today's Noon Business Hour, we will talk about Gillette as it wades into some social issues. Is that something that is good for business? All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The cost of a subscription to Netflix is rising. We're going to find out how much in our next segment. Right now, the report on producer prices leads today's data, while the economic impact of the partial government shutdown is growing. We are joined by Bob Breska, who is chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Bob, this partial government shutdown, is this something that could have a lasting effect, or where are we in this?
No, I don't know if I would call it a lasting effect, but it could be having an impact on the economy. You know, there are people who really do depend on their weekly paychecks, and they're not getting them. And I know that there are certain merchants who are going out of their way to try to help people. But, you know, when you're a person who has, you know, worked for a living and lives paycheck to paycheck, it's very hard all of a sudden to have that paycheck gone. People, you know, try to have savings, they try to have money for emergencies, but you know, missing an entire paycheck for no reason whatsoever without that you couldn't plan for can create hardships and problems for the economy as well. So I would be worried about the impact of this if it goes on much longer. It's already been going on for, you know, a better part of a month.
What areas of the economy could get hit on this?
Well, clearly consumer spending. I mean, and then you have knock-on effects from there on down.
Bob, so as far as the outcome of the government shutdown, I mean, it seems like both of these sides are sort of digging in. And what does that lead economists to conclude? Because it doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon.
Well, I don't know what it leads economists to conclude. It leads this economist to conclude that Republicans are more concerned about Republicans and Democrats are more concerned about Democrats, and neither of them are concerned about the country.
Yeah, it does seem to be a lot of back and forth on that. Producer price index, big price drop. What do you think?
Well, you know, energy prices are a big part of what went on in this report. If you look at headline prices, they're up by 2.4% year over year. The final demand core prices are up by 2.7% if you you take out the food and energy. So, inflation is still, you know, pretty much contained. You know, the monthly stuff, though, the decline in prices isn't a statement about the economy. It's a statement about energy. Energy prices rocked pretty sharply. They fell by 5.4% this month in the PPI after falling by 5% the month before. So this is basically an energy problem.
Talk about the trade battle with China. Is that something that we're really beginning to feel in our economy, and could that get worse too?
Well, actually, you know, I've been arguing for some time that we're not going to feel that much in our economy. China's definitely feeling it in their economy. You know, Chinese imports fell very sharply, and, you know, they produce stuff and we buy stuff. So, you know, if we find their stuff is too expensive and we decide that we're not going to buy it for one reason or another, then we can shift and buy something else, and, you know, we can wait to buy that. You know, right now, cell phones are excluded, but who knows what will happen if this goes on and there's another round. But, you know, you could wait to buy a TV. You could wait to buy a cell phone. You could wait to buy a new dress or a new pair of pants. Whereas if you don't produce it, then those people don't have jobs. So they find themselves in a much more draconian position. So I think the producer country is the one that's more at risk, and that's what we're seeing. There isn't that much of an impact on the U.S., but there's a pretty significant impact on China's economy.
Do you worry about the U.S. economy here, Bob?
In context for what? I'm sorry. Worry about it?
Oh, worry about this. There may not be an end to this. You know, the different things that can pop up, you know, regularly, but more intensely now.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things in the world that that I do worry about. I mean, I don't like the government shutdown. We have this trade war with China that, that could escalate and get worse. We haven't really started to have our back and forth with Europe because we also have trade negotiations with them that have to occur. The trade deal with Canada and Mexico has yet to be finalized. And we have all kinds of geopolitical tensions all over the place. You know, we've got this this problem with, you know, what China's done with the Canadian citizen, changing the verdict in his trial to give him a death sentence. And this is related to, you know, the United States asking the Huawei official to be extradited from Canada, something they haven't done, but they continue to hold this person, and China's very angry about it. So you know, China actually has warned their firms over there about sending their executives to the United States. And I would say, yeah, if they've done something illegal, that's a good thing to warn them about, because if they've done something illegal, they'll get grabbed. But if they haven't done anything illegal, you know, come on down. It's a great place to be.
Bob Bruska, chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics, thanks for being with us. Coming up, Netflix subscribers will have to dig deeper for their streaming fix. How is Wall Street reacting?
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Netflix is raising its prices by up to 18%, the biggest increase since the company launched 12 years ago. To talk about it, we welcome Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group here in Chicago. Tim, kind of give us the thumbnail sketch. What is Netflix doing here?
Well, they're raising prices, and it's not a surprise, Cisco. I mean, they have pricing power. There's no doubt that Netflix is a phenomenon. It's almost 80 million subscribers in the United States alone, obviously a worldwide footprint, and it's only growing exponentially depending on where you sort of spin the globe. And they have been furiously spending money, debt for that matter, billions of dollars of that debt, to secure their place amongst the firmament of TV and video choices that we have available to us. And, you know, in business terms, it's deficit spending. They are borrowing money at a feverish pace to pack their lead or insulate themselves from a growing rank of competition. We've talked about some of them here on this show, Disney Plus and ESPN's offerings and a whole slew of other ones. They are by a country mile leading the pack. And, you know, they need to start balancing, I think, their revenue expectations, and they have pricing power. It's Netflix is the default for everybody's streaming choice, and to suggest that that they have more room to grow in terms of pricing, there's no doubt that they've got plenty of room to do that, and they're starting to exercise that power in the next couple of months by raising some prices.
So you talk about that power. They're basically banking on the fact that Netflix, in a very short time, has sort of become a utility that a lot of people don't want to even try to live without. And so does that give them a little more room to continue raising prices?
Yeah, I do not doubt that they have more room to expand their pricing power. And, you know, the cost benefit analysis from the average consumer, right? I mean, the argument is how much content do you get from Netflix? How often do you use it? You know, I think many people, as they unbundle their television choices and then they think about what they want to put back into their bundle, they look at, you know, of the things that they're going to pay for. Netflix is, frankly, has become kind of, to your point, a utility, a default choice as a must-have starting point. And I think the question really is, you know, is $9, $12, $15, $18 a month, where is that price point, depending on the plan that you want, relative to the other offerings, say Amazon Prime or HBO Now and those kinds of things? I think Netflix has mind share, and they also have a wide variety of content and original content. The question is, can they afford to keep doing this in the years to come?
Well, Netflix, this knocks me out. It was best performing of all of the FANG stocks last year. We're talking about Facebook and Amazon and Apple. They did a better job than, you know, in what they're carrying, the money they're carrying home with, than these other stocks, the kind of the sexy technology stocks.
Yeah, and that's stock price, right? But the reality is that they are heavily indebted, and one way to start to relieve some of that debt is to raise prices. And as I said before, don't think that they will not consider some type of advertising component to their business model at some point in the next couple of years, as I believe Amazon is going to be doing with Prime very shortly. So don't rule out the judicious arrival of some type of advertising at some point down the road. It may not be immediately with Netflix, but it's certainly on the roadmap, in my estimation.
Tim Hanlon, by the way, Wall Street loving it today. The stock's up almost nearly 7%. Tim Hanlon, founder, CEO of the Vertair Group here in Chicago. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, security at U.S. airports is being adjusted due to the effect of gridlock in Washington.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the gains today have pushed the three main averages above some key levels. The Dow advancing 129 points or 0.5%, now at 24,040. NASDAQ up more than 1.5% or 108 points, has moved above the 7,000 level. And the S&P is at 2606 as it gains 24 points or 1%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also positive, up 0.25%. And crude oil futures are higher by about 2.5% to $51.76 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Grains are all lower across the board. Corn down 6 in March and May, down 4.25 in December, 3.98 back under 4. Beans are down 9 to 10. The March at 9.56 down 10. New crop November down 9 at 9.37.5. Worries about what the agreement with China will say. They've already stopped buying beans for the moment. They bought what they said they were now. Now the question is, will they buy much more? And then wheat down 5 to 6. Just no bullish news out there today. Everything lower.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti with Business at 25 and 55 and live from Bloomberg on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are rallying today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
It's Travel Tuesday, how the partial government shutdown is affecting operations at America's airports.
A new ad for men's razors is creating controversy for its use of the phrase toxic masculinity.
Some Illinois lawmakers are expressing confidence of bipartisan cooperation in Springfield under the new governor, J.B. Pritzker.
Nominee for Attorney General William Barr says he turned down an invitation to join President Trump's defense team in the Russia investigation.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 129, the NASDAQ gaining about 110, and the S&P 500 up 25.
Clouds lingering throughout your afternoon as we head to a high of 31. Right now, 27 at O'Hare and Midway, 31 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, as we look at the markets gaining ground today, we're joined by Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital in Chicago. What do you see when you see the numbers today, Matt?
Oh, Chris, I think actually we're having a technically highly significant day out there. The market rally kind of a little bit came out of nowhere this mid-morning, and we have gone above the highs where the market was right before Jerome Powell raised interest rates for the last time and then gave that kind of poorly received press conference where the market fell from up 300 and then finished down 700, had that, in a sense, algorithmic mega correction into Christmas, and now finally the rebound back to here. So if we hold these levels with some better fundamental news, which I think we're coming with, having with, for instance, Netflix and some of the bank stocks today, this could be a really important day for the recovery.
So we would start seeing the market climbing back up again?
Well, I think with 3 weeks of gains straight up, obviously there's going to be some kind of consolidation, Chris. And remember, we're now still down 10% from the highs last year, of course, just back and forth trading. We're at, in a sense, the support levels that we had through most of last year. So we've climbed to them. Now we're going to have a lot of work going forward over the next couple months.
Let's talk about those bank stocks. You got J.P. Morgan, you have Wells Fargo, not so good news. What's going on with them, and does this seem like it's going to be a long-term challenge or maybe short-term?
Well, long-term, yes, a bit of a challenge. Because the Fed had raised rates a full point, but the U.S. Treasury market completely discounted that. You know, that creates problems for banks because they, in a sense, have to kind of pay for deposits. They can't make money on the deposits from their consumer banking in the long end of the curve. But, you know, I think actually the J.P. Morgan results were actually pretty good. The miss, if it was a miss, was on volatile trading, and that's expected. But the fundamentals of community banking for J.P. Morgan, for instance, were extremely strong, up 13%. So I think the valuations of all these bank stocks, which had gotten completely crushed last year, really reflected the worst-case scenario. And you see J.P. Morgan and Citigroup rising today, and I think that's a great sign. There's not much else in the stock market where you have P.E. ratios of, you know, 8, 9, 10, Cisco, which means you have earnings yields in these stocks of over 8%. That's a great place to put your money.
Let's talk about Netflix. We did a segment kind of analyzing what they're doing as a business and raising their prices. But Wall Street, let's talk about it from an investing standpoint. Wall Street seems to really like the fact that Netflix is raising its prices. The stock is up nearly 7% today.
I mean, who could not love it? I have Netflix. I think I pay like $7.99, and I was like, how come they haven't doubled that monthly rate? And, you know, think about how much you pay your cable company. So Wall Street is just absolutely applauding this. And, you know, Netflix is a racy stock that I think a lot of people didn't take a look at while it was rising, but it had, of course, you know, it was part of the massive FANG correction, and it was below, you know, $270. That was the spot to buy it. You know, it took a little fortitude and being a little bold, but now you're seeing a big payoff. And this is a really helpful sign for the market that Netflix is doing so well.
I wonder if that might be a precursor to even further challenges for cable companies, because as Netflix gets more expensive and people really love Netflix and rely on it, maybe even more people will think about cutting that cord.
Well, I think so, though, you know, as you've seen, Comcast has been extremely entrenched. I think you make a good point about AT&T with the Time Warner acquisition and their complexities. So something to think about in that space. We actually do like Verizon, Cisco, which is more of a pure play and doesn't in wireless and doesn't have all those complexities and the challenges, for instance, that Comcast does with Netflix.
Matt, how difficult is the government shutdown going to be as we look ahead?
Well, it hasn't seemed to matter, Chris. You know, and I think a ironic way, it's absolutely paralyzed the government, and so all the worst case scenarios that people either on one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle were sort of gunning for when sentiment was so poor. That's all out the window because really nothing is happening. And maybe that's a good thing for the market.
Matt Shapiro, always good analysis. Thanks for being with us. Matt is president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Up next, Travel Tuesday. Absences among TSA workers are up as federal employees miss paychecks.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. The partial government shutdown is having an impact on attendance by TSA workers who are no longer receiving paychecks. Let's get the latest from Joe Schwederman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul here in Chicago. Joe, this is interesting because TSA agents not getting paid but still required to show up. Explain why that is.
You know, I'm in Washington now, and everybody's talking about this and warning that we're really on borrowed time. The TSA workers, you know, many make about, you know, $16 an hour. They live paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, with the shutdown, they just can't issue checks. So they're working sort of on an IOU from the government. And with a strong job market, you know, some are calling in sick. Some are saying, yeah, I'm going to go work elsewhere, and then ghosting the other position. And so we had Atlanta and a few other airports. We had to shut down some TSA lines, and it's a growing problem.
And so from a political standpoint, I mean, this might actually be something that gets movement in Washington, because when everyday Americans are saying, I got to wait in line for 2 hours in order to get on a flight, and companies like Delta say that earnings are going to be hurt, I mean, that's when it really starts to hit people.
You know, today is really the first day that hit between the eyes phenomena occurred. The Bastion, the CEO of Delta, stood up and said, look, we've already lost $25 million. We've lost not only lots of federal traffic, government employees not, you know, going on the road, but they can't put new planes into service. They can't get inspectors. They can't have the engines approved. They have some new Airbus planes that they're waiting to launch, and they can't. And so it's a whole new set of problems that's got the market really nervous. And United issues earnings tonight, and the investors are going to be watching carefully if it's going to be a tough month.
Well, in fact, Delta Airlines is a warning on earnings as a result of this. Are we going to start seeing that as through the airline business?
Well, you know, it's kind of been a threefold phenomenon that in addition to the longer lines, people are now talking about their concerns at the airport. Even the conference I'm at here in Washington, you know, people are saying, gee, should I get to the airport 2 hours early because of the lines? But the federal traffic, and then, you know, all the inspectors and things. And if we start seeing airplanes getting grounded, that could come next. And here there's just no real speculation how long this shutdown could last. The sense is, though, that these air travel woes are going to put pressure on the administration to at least do something to ease that problem.
Yeah, because it's going to affect the economy.
Yeah, no question. And I think we saw, you know, a year and a half ago when the TSA lines at Midway, you know, spread all the way out in the parking lot. That was a national news story that really hit people, that angered them. And when people get angry, and it's not sort of an abstract bureaucratic concept, and, you know, air travel is certainly going to be maybe the place we feel is worst. Public transit's another, where some operating funds aren't getting sent out. And so when you start leaving people stuck in terminals, that's not going to be pretty.
Is there any danger if you have all these sick outs and sort of fewer lines, or is it just annoying for people having to wait longer?
You know, I've been pretty clear about, you know, not letting the safety card be played, because I think, you know, the false choice is going to be to leave a plane grounded. But I think what Delta is saying, look, we have these new fuel-efficient planes, these new Airbus A330 Neos that are just top of the line and more fuel efficient. And we want to ground some of the old guzzlers. And, you know, and of course, newer planes are bring all kinds of safety enhancements. So it's, you know, things ripple through like this. And I can tell that air travel is now a cocktail party talk among people, because they're hearing these reports about, you know, trouble at the airports.
Joe Schwederman, always good to have you with us. Joe is professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, why a men's razor maker is getting backlash over a new commercial.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
An attempt to marry advertising and social comment is generating some buzz for razor maker Gillette. Not all of it good. Let's learn more from Tom Serafin, president and CEO of Serafin & Associates here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Tell us about the new Gillette ad campaign, Tom.
Well, they're kind of tying it to the cultural Me Too movement. They've changed their old saying, best a man can get, and they're making it plural to the best men can be. And they're trying to tie it to the fact that, you know, we need to be more generous with our younger men. We need to show and come across the line more often. We need to be more ladylike so much in the way we deal with each other. And they're using that foundation to sell their Gillette products. I think a lot of it has to do with the intent, you know, the fact that they've lost in the last 10 years about 20% of the market share. Harry's and Dollar Shave have really cut into their business, and they've reduced costs, the prices of their products by 15% on the shelf. So that master brand, they're concerned about with Gillette, and it's kind of breaking ground, you know, very much of a cultural thing, but, you know, you have to be careful. You know, Michael Jordan was always asked why he didn't get involved in the protest, because he said Republicans buy shoes too. So people need to be careful when they get into this, the cultural, you know, sustainability and all these other issues that people are arguing about, such a divided society, and now you want to drop your product right in the middle of that water.
So I have to tell you, after reading the story about this, I sense that it's playing to women.
It does. You know, in fact, there was a good analysis, I think, in Forbes or the New York Times this morning about that fact. I think you've nailed it. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I have two boys, and I've raised them to be very much gentlemen. And I was raised by my two sisters and my mother. You know, my dad was never home. And so I feel not so much offended. I think it's a good message. I think it's the right message for people today. But it's kind of presumptuous that none of the men in our society today are able to think that way. I think they go a little bit too much by pushing the attitude that, hey, we all need lessons. I think we all need to be reminded, but we don't all need lessons. And, you know, they're such a big company, $66.8 billion with Procter & Gamble. They've done plenty of focus groups. The ad runs 1 minute and 48 seconds. You can see it on the Internet. I think it's got a nice, pleasant message, but it paints too much of a broad stroke. And some people have really gotten angry about it. 223 downvotes versus 25,000 likes on the Internet right now. So it's a tough message that's not really working very well with some of their customers.
Tom Serafin, always good to have you on the show. President, CEO, Serafin and Associates here in Chicago. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street. Sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we continue to see nice gains on Wall Street. The Dow up 130 points, moving above 24K. The NASDAQ higher by 1 2/3%, or 112 points, and now trading at 7,018. S&P above 2,600 as it gains 25 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg advancing 0.5%. Netflix is so confident people are hooked on its service, it's going to raise prices on all of its streaming plans. The most popular one will go from $11 to $13 a month. The last time Netflix raised prices in 2017, it added 24 million customers. Well, that kind of pricing power is lifting the stock by almost 7%. Netflix is one of the leaders on a Wall Street tech rally we're seeing today. At the end of April, CVS Caremark will stop paying for most prescriptions filled at Walmart pharmacies. They're parting ways over pricing disputes. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.